This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk about cash money. As you've heard me say before, I tend to be something of a cash operation. You'll still find yours truly at artifacts known as ATM machines. But let's be clear. Paying for goods and services is rapidly becoming a distinctly digital experience. You may find yourself tapping or swiping, inserting, pinning, or scanning any number of cards or even your phone. Oh, sure, it's convenient. But it sure as heck lacks accessibility for members of the blind and low vision community. And there are solutions in the works to make electronic payments more accessible. We're beyond pleased to welcome CNIB President and CEO John Rafferty to the program to discuss this further. Hey, good morning, John. Thank you so much for making time to be with us today. We're so appreciative.
Good morning, Dave.
So the subject of accessible payment terminals is an important one. How did it come to your attention?
I think it came to my attention when they first created a payment terminal, I think. However long that ago that was. But it's been an ongoing issue with the community. It comes up time and time again. And it's in many ways become less accessible as technology has grown as opposed to more accessible. So we're thrilled to be kind of on the verge of changing the tide. We haven't solved it, but we're certainly making some really good steps forward now.
We'll talk about the solutions in just a moment, but I know one of the issues that I deal with when it comes to payment terminals as someone who's legally blind is that the fonts are teensy tiny and pretty much unreadable. But what are some of the accessibility issues that members of the community have been mentioning to you and CNIB colleagues?
Yeah, I think that font size, the contrast issues, as well as just the size on screens, the touch button touchpads and no buttons on them is an issue, and probably the one that is comes up most often is the lack of consistency of the layout of and the sequence of what you have to do and where the buttons are located and whether the first one says checking or the second one or when it's going to ask you if you want to leave a tip or not. So the consistency in the process and the layout and design is also a huge accessibility barrier.
Well, the CNIB has been working with a leader in payment technology, Moneris, to develop more accessible terminals. How did that relationship come about?
Well, it began in a structured way at the beginning of 2018. In January 2018, we having been frustrated in trying to deal with this issue for many years, we called a summit and invited large retailers, all the payment processors, Canadian banks, and had a good attendance for kind of a four-hour summit around accessibility. I think that people came and they listened. They were made aware through a number of very good videos that were produced in order to kind of demonstrate the barriers and what they mean. And then for months afterwards, we heard nothing. So it started the process until we were able to reach out to the CEO of Moneris, Angela Brown. I sat down with her. We mapped out a plan. She wasn't sure how or whether it could be how it would be solved or whether it could be solved, and we were thrilled. We told her that, you know, Moneris is the leader in payment transactions in Canada. It's a Canadian organization. Most of the others are not Canadian owned and operated. And there's no better place to start a solution than with the number one in the business.
I know the answer to this is probably a bit self-evident, but I always like exploring it. What's the importance of collaborating with a leader in the industry like Moneris in an endeavor like this?
Well, yeah, I mean, the answer is the obvious one, Dave. When a leader leads, others follow. It creates profile. It puts it on the map a lot more than if a very small player was doing it. It can't be ignored by others. Moneris doing this, it tells everyone else that they're going to have to get in the game or they're going to fall behind.
Now, we talked about some of the common issues that folks have run into. What are some of the changes and upgrades at these terminals that customers could expect?
So just for you, Dave, the fonts are bigger.
Hey.
And the contrast is better. So that's kind of a standard that's there, and that's kind of the number one component of the design. They have a keypad. When a payment terminal is handed to someone by holding the 5 button down when it's passed to you, I think it's for like 1 second or 2 seconds, it enables voice. So the machine will enable voice. It will allow you to invert the text so that it will go from a black font on a white background to a white font on a black background, which is very useful for certain members in the community. Or you can complete the whole transaction in an audio way. It'll, you know, confirm amounts. It will ask you whether you want to leave a tip. It will confirm all of the instructions in an audio way.
Very, very cool. Nice to see that development coming down the pipeline. Now, you had a chance to speak at the Payments Canada Summit last month. What message did you share? And conversely, what were some of your own takeaways from being part of such an event?
So, obviously, we shared a lot of what we've just talked about, kind of why, where did it come from. I think the net extra piece that I shared there was conversations that I've had with those who've been testing this terminal from the community as we've been kind of managing Moneris through this. And I've asked everyone a question. If you're standing on a street and you need to go to a drugstore, and there's one on the same side of the road you're on, and there's one across the street, you know that the one across the street has an accessible payment terminal. Will you cross the road and shop there? And everyone, to a person, says yes. And so the message at the payment terminal is not just that this is the right thing to do and it should be done and everyone should have an inclusive experience, but it's going to be good for business. You know, there's 1.5 million Canadians who are blind or partially sighted and struggle on a daily basis with payment terminals. If one brand of store has it and another doesn't, you yourself will probably choose the one that has the accessible payment terminals. So those who don't do this are going to fall behind economically, was the kind of the net extra message that I had over and above all of the things we've talked about as to why this should be done from an accessibility standpoint.
Mm. Do you have a sense of when we might see some of these accessible payment terminals popping up?
So they should be starting to pop up kind of early to mid-July is our expectation. There should be tens of thousands of them in situ before the end of the summer. And then Moneris will continue to roll that out. So all of their net new terminals will have all of these features built in. A number of terminals that are already in market will get a software upgrade that will enable them to do this kind of instantly. So we're expecting, you know, close to 100,000 accessible terminals by the end of the summer.
Really great to hear that. Now, John, it's been a little while since you and I have had a chance to catch up, so I want to shift gears as we're wrapping up the interview. I want to check in to see how you and your colleagues have been holding up over the last couple months and the year with the pandemic. I know it's been a difficult time for many, but I'm curious what lessons may have been learned within the last year for the CNIB and whether it's been an opportunity to develop new best practices that can be applied long after the pandemic has subsided?
Well, first of all, thanks for asking. It's been a journey for all of us. And we've all had our challenges over the last 16 months, but we've also had some successes. I think we're doing well. We've learned an awful lot over the last year. And a lot of which is going to be here to stay. You know, we reach more Canadians who are blind or partially sighted with virtual programs now than we ever have. We've seen increases in all demographics, including our seniors in terms of participation in virtual programmings, and also where people are getting connected from. You know, the idea that you need to be able to find one of our 56 locations, which is, you know, is a fair few locations, but there are hundreds and hundreds of communities across the country, and we now have participants in places that we never had before. So that's here to stay. You know, I think that we're coming out of the organization, coming out of the pandemic as a stronger organization, which is great. We are looking forward to reopening those physical sites for for in-person programming in the future, but we're not going to take away what we've been doing virtually because it really has made a profound difference.
John, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for making time to be with us this morning. We're so grateful.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dave. Anytime.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.